Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, when you have a father who is godly and fears God, the children were different from those whose parents who do not know God. Of course, there is a difference. Amen. I mean, you don't obey God, it's the same, you know. You have greater or lesser impact on your children. Amen. Greater or lesser, you do have impact on your children, right? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's read this scripture before we pray over the tithes and offerings. Isaiah 1:19. If you're willing and obedient, you prosper and you eat of your prosperity. Amen. Obeying is not enough. Must be willing. Willing is not enough. You must really want to obey. Some people, they put in their tithes and offering, but actually in their heart, they don't really want to obey. They're willing. They're willing. But sometimes people who obey, but they're not willing. So you must be willing and obedient to eat the good of the land. Now, in those days, they're all farmers. That's why they talk about eating the good of the land. Nowadays, we are not farmers, right? So we are not farmers, then what do? You eat off your what? You eat off whatever your field of work, lah. Right not? I mean, if you are willing and obedient, you eat the good of land. So we are not limited. We are limited by our faith in God, in the truth, and in how much faith we have. Faith comes from the knowledge of God. Amen? If you are willing and you're obedient, serving is the same. You want to serve? You better be willing. You know, you are the one who will shortchange yourself. Amen? And this scripture is spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So who's going to enable you to eat the good of the land? It's God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I was sitting outside there and was talking to, I think Roger brought it up. When I got married, straight away, a local company had transferred me to work in the U.S. You know? So I don't have to worry about I don't have to worry about finding a place to stay. Man, I went to the States. I got a 5-year business visa, but I went there for 6 months. I prayed to come back. I wasn't willing to stay. When I came back, I mean, nowadays, y'all can, $960,000, you just buy a 4-room flat. In those days, I cannot afford to buy. It's all relative, lah. So you can afford to buy, then you don't need to stay with your parents, lor. I came back from U.S. What do? I stay with my mother, right? I stayed with my mother for 1 year. Then at the end of 1 year, my mother just said, hey, your brother getting married, get out. No, she didn't say it. I just dramatized it, lah. He said, your brother's getting married, you need to find a place. I said, oh, didn't think, no. Don't think, where am I going to stay? No concept that I'm going to rent one. But God prepares. Lynn and her husband bought a place, a masonette. And they don't stay. And I move in. And in those days, no concept of paying rent, so stay free. My sister never asked for rent. Oh, I should have said it. After scaling, she said, hey, I'm asking for back rent. And, you know, they just bought a masonette, Bedok Reservoir. And I just, oh, I move out, okay. She get married, oh, move out, okay. Then she said, yeah, I got a place you want to stay. I said, oh, she said, want to stay, never say how much, so stay, right now. Then when the time come, she and her husband, Eric, said, we want to sell already. Just nice, my Pasir Ris HDB flat came, exactly apartment, waited 7 years. No, 7 years, because I picky lah, you know, here the one, there the one, you know. Then moving 1 year, God said, time you go to Bible school. Okay, go to Bible school. Then the place, Pastor Prince stay, rented to him. So what I'm trying to say is, God knew, you know, many times he knew you're willing, you're obedient, will obey him, he bless you first. So everything arranged, all my needs are met. So the timing is all just nice. And, I mean, they bought a mission, they never stayed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Many times he knew you are willing and you obey him, right? So you eat the good of land. Don't say Israel. No, God has a purpose and plan for Israel. Amen. So you have to be willing and be obedient. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. He never shortchanged us. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. You will prosper. Is God's word true? True or not? Then are you willing? Will you obey? Huh? Right? Do you put in your heart to serve him? You serve him, right? Your dad is a good example. He's still moving things. And then you got a good dad. Not only are you got a good dad. Amen. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Praise you for thy word is true. We thank you, Father. Thank you for prospering them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you for prospering him. You follow your father's example, right? You know, why do you think God prospered him? ask yourself, go back and ask yourself, why God prosper him? Right? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's continue our study. Heavenly Father, a trusted friend. Every believer knows God is God. Not all know God as a father. Many do not know him deeply and intimately. You know him is not enough. You can actually go deeper. Amen. More intimate. Right? If you know him deeper, you dare to believe him. Amen. You have the boldness and you have the trust to believe him. And you can believe him when you want him to prosper you. But I'm telling you, you need to believe him more if you go through a crisis in life. Amen. So today we want to know him as a trusted friend. We need a friend we can fully trust and he will protect us without fail. Amen. You have friends who may one day, your friend next day, he may betray you, right? But God the Father will never betray us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. When you can fully trust Heavenly Father, you can rely on him. Amen. So discover the deep, intimate relationship with God as a father and trusted friend. Learn how believers can develop a closer bond with him through understanding and obedience. Amen. Always think of this way. When he tells us to do something, he wants us to obey him because he wants to get something across to us. Like I said last week, you know, that father always thinks of what he can do for you. Right now. You think your fathers will think what they will do for me. No, you think what you do for your children. Right now. So the father is our friend. Amen. James chapter 2 verse 23 in the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God. He not only hears from God, he hears, he believes. And believe, he obeyed. Right? And it was accounted to him. That means it's credited to him. Put into his account. To him for righteousness. That means he is not made righteous. That means his acts, whatever his life was right before God, righteous, right before God, able to come before God, whatever he did, because God instructed him, was right before God, and God called him the friend of God. And Abraham wasn't even born again, wasn't a child of God at that time. We are children of God. Amen. And God called him friend because he believed God. Not only believe, I mean, if you know the story, he heard from God, he obeyed, he left Mesopotamia, he went to the promised land. He stayed there. Amen. He went down to Egypt, he came back, and when the Lord told him the ultimate obedience was told him to sacrifice his son, he obeyed. He not only heard from God, he had faith, he believed, and he obeyed. He was willing and obedient. Amen. God did not just call him servant. And those days, they were not born again. Right, their spirit was not born again. Their spirit was sinners. Yet God called him his friend. Amen. You want to know him as your father, but you also want to know him as your friend. Amen. People think they are unworthy. They have always guilt conscious. Why should you have guilt conscious? He's your father. He's your friend. Do you know in the book of Proverbs it says a friend who is closer than a brother? So you think brother, you're close. There are friends who are closer than a brother. Proverbs says, amen. You know, always sin conscious, guilty conscious, condemnation, all kinds of, and oppression. Huh? He's your friend, and you're going to go through tribulation. Please, He's going to pull you through tribulation, and let devil put mark beast 666 on your forehead. You know. What kind of friend do you think the Heavenly Father is to us? Huh? Then I got a better friend on earth. Then my Heavenly Father, he will put a mark on the beast, allow the devil put a mark on the beast, and I have to go through tribulation, right? He's not just a father, he's a friend. That means a father, he will provide, he will meet all my needs. But he's a friend, he just talk. Just talk to him, he just talk to me. He just talk, he treat me like a friend. Right? Ask yourself how you treat yourself as a friend. So he call you friend. Really don't call me friend. They call me pastor. Do you have a friend? He laughed. I didn't ask him. Okay, ask her. Not afraid of offending her. You got a friend? Have a good friend? Okay. Your best friend cannot compare to... Once he's a friend, he's the best friend. Really. So what's the difference between a father? Father, you always think of what he can do for you, meet every need. But when a friend... Okay, David, do you have a friend? Have a good friend? Okay, only. Okay, Amber, you got a friend. Good friend? What do you do with good friends? Okay. What do you normally talk? Anything. Exactly. That's a good answer. Talk to Heavenly Father, anything. Because he's your friend. Amen. He's a better friend than any of your friends. Okay, what else? Sorry, I got to ask you. You want to be my friend? Oh? Want to really? Ah? Sure. Okay. What else besides going to the house, what else you all do with friends? Shopping that you cannot do with the Heavenly Father. Can ask him for money. Ask the Heavenly Father for money. Right? So you talk about anything. Besides that, what else? You complain to your friend. You tell your friend all your secrets. Correct? All hidden secrets that you don't tell your parents. One. Now, there are some more secrets you cannot tell your friend. You can tell Heavenly Father who's your friend. Amen? See that? So you don't come to him, wow, always guilty, look, oh, I'm unworthy. No. How do you go to your friend? You just pick up, call, hello, what's her name? Huh? Do you have a boy who's a friend, good friend? Got a guy friend, good friend? Okay, good. What's her name? Zichi. You just call, hey, Zichi, correct? You talk to the Heavenly Father there. Hey, Heavenly Father. But worship him different. We worship him as God, we need to reverence. When he speaks to us, we need to obey him, reverence. But talk to him, come boldly. That's why he said, come boldly before the throne of grace. Right or not? You say, hey, God, Father, you're my Father, right? Talk to him like that. Yeah? Correct. Do you talk to your father like that? No. Okay, try. Try. I'm teaching her how to talk to the Heavenly Father, so use your example, so don't get angry with her, okay? Amen. So God's a friend. He said, hey, Heavenly Father. That's why Brother Hinn said, you know, you don't give my wife back to me, I'll blame you forever. Talk to God like that. You know, I talked to the Lord Jesus. He said, I don't want to train up another wife really. I train her already. She has fame now. Let her live. At the age of early 30s, the wife was dying. And you're going to read the book, I Believe in Visions. You know how he talked to God the Father? When his wife was dying, he said, you give her back to me. He talked to Jesus, he said, my mother is dying. He said, I refuse to let her die. Ah. He said, yes, it's selfish. Selfish prayer, God answered. Hey, you haven't tasted the depth of God's grace yet. You know how he talked to God, Jesus? He said, I know it's selfish to keep my mother alive. I said, I want her to live till 80. Jesus said, okay, have it. Have her live till 80. And Brother even said to Jesus, yeah, I know it is selfish. Selfish prayer, God answer. The blood cleanses, the grace of God is unconditional. If it doesn't violate his word, he will answer your prayer, even though it's selfish. Death is not of God. Death is enemy of God. Get it? Right? Amen. So God told Abraham to leave Mesopotamia. He obeyed. When God told him to sacrifice his son, he obeyed and called him his friend. Abraham not only believed God, but obeyed God and did God's way. We cannot say we believe God and his ways and do things our way against God's. Amen. I mean, there are many things that you know can do. God just let you decide what you want to do. But there are things that we have to do it God's way. Amen. We cannot go against God's way and expect God, the Father, call us his friends. Amen. Moses led Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. Whenever they pitched tents to settle down for this anointing here, praise the Lord. Must be imagined, you just came in. There's anointing on my hand. Sukur mahange, stekir metsunumre, japsanaihe. I think I need to pray for the mother. Come up here. Emmanuel's mother. Yeah. Then he's pointing at you. He pointed at me. He asked you to come up here. Yeah. Emmanuel pointing here. He said, mother, you need to come up here. Yeah. Sabros kikin and mamange, sombre. Yepsanaihe. Kumros duhe, manskuna. I just prayed for Beverly concerning her career. Maybe it could be also your career. Lelem zunumbra, shtikinets, and there's anointing here. Why don't you come up here also? Sasalaman zunumre, your career. Sapsopsanemre, shtikinim zunumbro. Zomzanaihe, sopsanaihe, sopsapane. Inskine, emskunumbra. Ebrasko, show me a funny face. Elamon zunumbre, shtikena masukura bachanai. Inskumbra, semskeninde, stoke, netskananga. Obrose mantanembre, obrose gamskanede, sobrose branskanumbra, onskonoble, stepless kadicha mere emskununga, iskine nenda mansabaha, do rebenske, say, oh, Ramomra, Sti ke netsamange, Sto ke netskidike nambre, Samske nenge mansgutuna, Iskitichamare, En skone menske mangaya, So bros ebenske ninga matskanohe, O rebenske denske numbra, Sti ke netskanonge, Ingastamage, Sto ko rabashekene, En skunga hakeni shikenema atskene. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name, yeah, clap. Clap. Okay. Que mosukura mahanga sombre. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. So Moses led Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. Whenever they pitch tents to settle down for a period, Moses will pitch a tent of meeting outside the camp. I mean, the camp is where all the people of Israel built their tents, but he'll pitch a tent of meeting outside the camp, where the people will come to seek counsel from the Lord. They will come to meet Moses in the tent of meeting, and the presence of the Lord in the form of clouds will fill the tent of meeting, signifying the Lord was manifesting his presence to speak to Moses. This was the background. Let's read Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Then inside the tent of meeting. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord will speak to Moses face to face. One speaks to a friend because he obeyed him. He wasn't even a child of God, not born again. God spoke to Abraham, called him friend. God spoke to Moses and called him a friend. After Moses will return to the camp, but the young man Joshua, who assisted him, Joshua son of Nun, will remain behind the tent of the meeting because the presence of God was there. Moses went, he said, you can go and counsel the Israelites. I'm staying in the presence of God. Amen. That's how he mentored him. God spoke to him face to face. Speak to Moses face to face as a man talks with a friend. That is to say, not from a distance of heaven, through any kind of medium, whatever, but mouth to mouth, as closely and as directly as friends talk to one another. That's how God talked to him. Amen. And yet he was not a child of God, not born again, yet he can come to attain that level of friendship with God the Father. Amen. So likewise, we can. Praise God. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. This is another scripture that talks about God speaking to Moses as friend. And the Lord said to them, now listen to what I say. If there were prophets among you, I would reveal myself in visions. I will speak to them in dreams. Prophets. You want to hear from prophets? Let me show you something. Verse 7. But not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he is the one I trust. I speak to him face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He speaks as he is, not through visions and dreams. He speaks to him face to face. Amen. So every time the Christian not talk correctly, every time you run to, oh, seek the prophet. No, why you seek the prophet when you have God the Father who is your Father and God the Father who is your friend? Why don't you speak to him as your friend? He may use the prophet to confirm what he says to you. Amen. A prophet's relationship cannot compare. It's lower than you and the Father's relationship, sonship. Amen. I'm a son of God, I'm his friend, but I serve him as a pastor. Amen. You go to those prophetic meetings, oh, what's a prophecy you have for me? Stay away from those prophetic meetings. Amen. When you have God the Father, who's your Father and who's your friend, who will not speak to you in riddles, why do you need to seek a prophet? A lot of errors in those prophetic meetings. Wrong teaching. They take from the Old Testament and apply it in the New Testament. Old Testament prophet and New Testament prophet are different. Amen. The ministries are completely different. There's only one thing that's common, is they are seers. They see into the future. But New Testament believers are not to be led by prophets. Why should you? Why every time God wants to speak to you, go and speak to a prophet when you are his friend? Pastor, I'm not his friend. That's where the problem is. You're not his friend. Or you didn't know. You don't know. You are his friend. But not with my servant Moses of all my house. He's the one I trust. Amen. Do you want friends that you cannot trust? You know what he's saying? God is saying he trusts Moses. So can the Father be our friend and he trusts you to do what he entrusts, put in your hands to do? Huh? So Darius, can God trust you to do what he trusted your dad to do? How many years he been serving in this church? And God trusted him, right? Do you want God to trust you or not to trust you? So what should you do? Ask your dad. Don't worry, your dad don't know, your dad will ask me. Amen? I speak to him face to face, clearly and not in riddles. That means it's not in parables in the New Testament. When you have a friend who is the Almighty God, what do you fear? You fear what? Why should you fear anything? Amen? You're a manager there, if God puts you there, you just need to ask him for wisdom to deal with every issue, right? You don't need to fear anything. Amen? So God revealed himself to Moses not only with greater clearness and evidence of divine light than to any other of the prophets, but also with greater expressions of particular kindness and grace. He spoke not as a prince to a subject, but as a man to his friend whom he loves, with whom he takes sweet counsel. A friend, a person whom one loves and trusts, close companion or comrade. Another Bible dictionary meaning. A person whom one loves and trusts. You cannot trust, you cannot fully call him a friend. Amen. How did Moses talk to God, his friend? And what did he ask from him? What did Moses ask from God, the friend? Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. One day Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people, this Israel, up to the promised land. But you haven't told me whom you will send with me to help me," right? You have told me, you have known you by name, and I look favorably on you. He said, God, you say you look favorably. See, I'm telling you, in the Old Testament, you find the grace of God. That's the favor of God. Moses knew he had favor with God. He said, you know me by name, but yet you have not sent someone to help me to bring this bunch into the promised land. Then verse 13, if it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways. See? So that I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. All about himself. Yahweh. Right? God the Father is all about me. God my friend is all about me. First thing he prays is all about himself. Right? God takes care of him, then he can take care of the nation of Israel. When God takes care of me, then I can take care of whatever he puts in my hand. Amen. If I can pray for myself, I can pray for you. If I can pray for Pastor Kion out of death, I can pray for you out of death. Right? I can, but whether you can, they allow me or not, it's a different story. Amen. He said, if I have found favor, let me know your ways. Amen. He wasn't talking to the prophet. He's talking to God directly. That I may understand you. He already knew God. The more you understand, the deeper you understand God. Understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. Increase. The grace of God will increase through knowledge. Amen. Praise God. In other words, you know, since God the Father is my friend, that's why I'll pray. I want to know his ways. Amen. So that his grace will increase upon my life. God is your friend. You will have more favor with him than those who are not. Each believer's closeness to God is not the same. Some are closer than others. How to be closer to God the Father? We need to have a deeper understanding of his ways. When he shows you his ways, you don't walk in it. You don't understand him further. Amen. If he shows you little things, you cannot be faithful. You're not going to understand him further. The ways of God. Right? Ways of God is infinite. We can never fully know all of his ways. We may know his ways in the past, but in coming the new year, we still need to know his ways. Amen. How to be closer to God the Father? We need to have a deeper understanding of his ways through our experience of walking with God the Father. Abraham did. God called Abraham his friend. Moses didn't want to go back to Egypt. He said, you know, I cannot speak well. God was a bit upset with him. All right, I give you Aaron. Speak to Aaron. He didn't want to go back to Egypt. Amen. But God called him his friend. That means he did. He eventually obeyed. All right. I mean, God will never ask you to sacrifice your son like Abraham did. No, no. If you hear, you say, God, speak to me to sacrifice my son. It's the devil. No, no more already. Okay? But that's the ultimate, that's the highest obedience besides Jesus. Jesus went to the cross. Abraham sacrificed his son. Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross and went to hell. That's the highest sacrifice. The next highest was Abraham. He almost sacrificed his son. He wanted to sacrifice his son because he wanted to obey God. And God called him his friend. So you never know God's way without walking. Have an experiential walk with God. Whenever He leads us, we need to walk with Him. As we get to know more and more of His ways and understand why He does things this and those ways, we will have more and more favor with the Father. Amen. Praise God. Then you will not be limited by nature, natural things, your ability. Amen. I can teach it because I'm an example. How God has blessed me. Amen. I'm waiting for more favor, then more blessed. Yeah, so it ties into that scripture, Isaiah 1:19. Be willing and obedient, you will be blessed by the land. Amen. You, in the first place, you be thankful that you're born in this land, right? So Moses was very wise. He said, "This nation is your people." Amen. Because he obeyed God. Remember that this nation is your very own. You tell me to lead them. So you know how I talk to God? God, this is not my church, it's your church. These people all grumbling, complaining, it's your people. No, I'm just using Moses' example. He said, remember? As if God forgets. That's how he talked to his friend. He said, remember? You promised me one. Do you promise me something? If any, very petty. Amen. Do you know how you talk to God? Do you know how you get things from your friend, God the Father? These are your people. Amen. You know what I say? Lord, this is your church. Amen. That means he's not relying on himself. He said, I'm doing what you want me to do. Yeah, this is your people. I'm leading your people into your promised land. You promised Israel. And he was part of Israel. Do you know what's the difference? When you obey God, do things His way, do it His plan, you just say, Lord, this is your idea, you know. Huh? Amen? So I'm teaching you how to get things from God. When you get it, be a blessing. Amen? Seems like I must just tell you. You know, when you're in an army, you know, somebody, the officers take all the baking, give it to you, or they cannot take it back. Man. So what you should do, you pray God multiply back to them. You should take it. They won't take it back. For me, I'll take it back. To me, I don't care. You don't want to take it back. But the unbelievers, you know, one thing is baking, they won't take it back. Man. So you should pray that God bless him, multiply back to them. That's the best way to bless them, you know. Yeah, your dad told me, man. You try to believe his dad. Your dad told me. See, don't tell me how do I teach you something, correct? I understand. I agree with you. But how are you going to bless them? They won't take it back. I agree. Maybe you should tell them, sir, don't take any more next time. I know other people don't because they're, amen. But once they give it out, they won't take it back. So you pray, God bless them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Surely the Father will teach us His ways of accomplishing His plans and will. We will be very successful. Amen. Another definition of friend in general literature. I got this from the Bible Dictionary. We have a classic incident recorded by Plutarch of Damon and Pythias during the rule of Dionysius. This is the emperor and his two guys. Pythias, condemned to death, was about to be executed, but desired to see his family. I mean, only happened in those days. So he was to be executed, you know, if you were executed, they put in prison, correct? Then he asked to be released, go and see his family. I mean, it never happened those days. They put you in prison, and you release, you go and see your family, you run, correct? You go and go and get a boat from somebody from Johor, you cross, right? But you know what happened? He wants to be an executed, but he desires to see his friend. But his friend, Damon, not demon, Damon, offered himself as a ransom in case he should not return in time for the hour of execution. This guy was to be executed. So he asked the emperor, say, can I go and see my family first? Then his friend Damon said, you hold me for ransom. If he doesn't return to be executed, you can execute me. That was a story. I mean, Damon trusted his friend Pythias will return. You know what happened? His friend returned. His friend returned, saved Damon. If his friend didn't return, Damon will be executed. Do you know what happened? In the end, the emperor saw their friendship. He released both of them and asked to be their friend. If in the natural, you know, somebody can do that, how much more the Heavenly Father who is your friend, he will do it for you. He did it, actually. He sent Jesus to die on your behalf, on our behalf. Proverbs 27, verse 6, wounds from a sincere friend are better than kisses from any enemy. Proverbs 27, 17, an iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. A real friend will tell you. You may not like it, but he will tell you. A friend is always be nice. You better ask yourself, Lord, is he really a friend? He will betray you. A friend who dares to tell you off in front of you when you're wrong, that's a real friend. Amen. You want a real pastor? He'll tell you. You want a fake one? Find somewhere else. Praise God. John 15, verse 14 and 15. Jesus said, you are my friends. If we are Jesus' friend, then we are Heavenly Father's friend. Amen. That means he will speak to us face to face. You don't need to go seek the prophet. He may use the prophet to confirm. If he confirms the prophet, I'm telling you, the road ahead is going to be rough. If you use a prophet, you use an angel to speak to you, it's going to be rough. The days on the road ahead is going to be rough. So it's better he doesn't send a prophet, but you only have the pastor speak to you. If you send an angel, worse. Amen. You're my friend if you do what I command. See? Right? I no longer call you slaves because a master does not confide in his slave. That means God will confide in us because he called us friend. Jesus called us his friend. That means God the Father is our friend. God the Father called Abraham Moses' friend. That means God the Father will. That's why one time, you know, Jesus came down and before Abraham and with two angels, he said, should I hide before Abraham what's going to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot? He will confide. Amen. Nothing's going to happen in your life without you knowing. He will show you. He will tell you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He will not confide in his slave. Now you are my friend since I told you everything the Father told me. Everything means what he can tell you, he'll tell us. So Abraham believed God and obeyed God. He was called a friend of God. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and obeyed him. The Heavenly Father called us his friend. The Father will speak to us face to face as a friend. Primarily, he does not speak to us through prophets. He may use a prophet to confirm what he said. He will teach us that we may better understand his ways and increase our favor with him. Because we are his friend. And this was before Jesus died and rose again. Amen? Praise God. He always show me, tell me things. Once I pray, I will know. Amen? If he doesn't speak, it's still direction in itself. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen? Thank you, Father. He will confide in us. He will show you things to come. Especially, that's why, you know, you don't worry about your children going abroad. If you learn to listen to your spirit, because he will show you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Somebody just shared this with me. Praying for one of the child. Pray, pray, pray until their relationship broke. Why? Because come a point they realize that person has no good values. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So God as a friend, Abraham, we talk about Abraham already, Moses, and Jesus called his disciples, called us his friend, sharing everything the Father would told him. Father is a protective friend. Psalm 91, verse 1, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He is my shelter. Speaks of his protection over and above us. Shelter, ma, above us. Amen. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If you have a problem trusting God, you have a problem receiving protection from him. He is my fortress and speaks of his protection around us. Fortress. Right now. He is my shelter, his protection over us, over me. So the Almighty God, the Father, is a shelter over us and above us and his protective fortress around us. But you have to trust. If you don't trust, you get into fear, you get in trouble. He is my refuge. Speaks of beneath the shelter within his surrounding walled fortress, a place of rest. When things are happening above and around us, inside I still rest. Therefore, we can trust. So God the Father is our refuge and fortress. He is our hiding place. What can penetrate God's fortress? Nothing. But you can open up the gate of the fortress with fear, then it will come in. Amen? Else nothing penetrates, right? Therefore, we can trust God, the Heavenly Father, to protect us. How sure can we trust the Heavenly Father? The Father as a protector. He's a shelter. God provides protection from above, like a roof over our head. He's a fortress, surrounds us with protective presence, like strong walls. He's our refuge. With his protection, we find a place of safety and rest. Amen? As a protector. But you have to trust, right? There must not be any fear. Amen? Psalm 91, verse 4, Amplified Version. Why Amplified? Because some versions translated trust, some versions translated faithfulness, but Amplified translated both, trust and refuge, faithfulness. Then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust. You don't trust him, he cannot protect you. And find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a protective wall. Buckler. That's the meaning of the buckler. Amen. Truth comes from his word. And when truth comes, faith comes. And you must know the truth of his promises. His promises are truth. There are two pillars. One, the truth of his promises. Two, his faithfulness. Then you will not be shaken. You'll not be shaken, you know, because things around you are happening. So, the word buckler means protective wall. We are certain that the Father will protect us because he is faithful to his promises. Two things you must anchor your faith on. The truth of his promises are truth, and is found in his word, spoken or written, and he's faithful. Then once he has promised, he will fulfill. He's faithful to fulfill. Amen. His truth and faithfulness are our protective wall. We will not be shaken by fear or thrown off. Now let's study the definition of truth. Long one, but listen. Conformity to fact or actuality. Facts. Truth is facts. Faithfulness to an original or to a standard. God's truth is a standard. In the Old Testament, New Testament, truth is fundamental, moral, and personal quality of God. God proclaimed that he is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. He is the God of truth without injustice. So all injustice never originate from God. Furthermore, all of his paths are mercy and truth. Frequently in Psalms, God's mercy and truth are joined together. All of God's work, precepts, and judgments are done in righteousness and truth. Truth is a moral and personal characteristic of God. He is the God of truth. The psalmist declares, your law is truth. All your commandments are truth. And the entirety of your word is truth. Because of his perfect nature and will, God has to speak and act in truth. He cannot lie. Jesus is the Word of God who became flesh, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As John 1:14. All Jesus said was true because he told the truth which he heard from God. He promised his disciples that he will send the Spirit of Truth, a helper who will abide in Christians forever, testify about Jesus, guide Christians into all truth, and glorify Jesus. God is truth, the Spirit is truth, and Jesus is truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's John 14:6. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus and the revelation which the Spirit of truth gave through his apostles are final, ultimate revelation and definition of truth about God, man, redemption, history, and the world. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Definition of faithfulness. Faithfulness is one of the characteristics of God's ethical nature, both of his character. It denotes the firmness or constancy of God in his relations with us as friends, especially with his people, with believers. It is accordingly one aspect of God's truth, of his unchangeableness. God is true not only because he is really God in contrast to all that is not God, but also because he is constant or faithful in keeping his promises and therefore is worthy of trust. God likewise is unchangeable in his ethical nature. The truth and faithfulness of the Father. Have faith in the protective nature of our Heavenly Father because he is faithful and never fails to shield us from fear around us. All the promises of the Father are true, and the Father is faithful in fulfilling his promises of truth. Therefore, our faith in the Father's protective nature is anchored in the truth of his promises and his faithfulness. Amen. And our faith in the Father's protective nature is unshakable, steadfast, unmovable, firm, and strong because our faith in the Father's protection is anchored on his promises of truth and his faithfulness. Amen. Therefore, we can trust. I trust God, you will be safe during this season of holiday in December. Amen. So, characteristics of God's friendship, trust. We can trust him, he trusts us, and God confides in those he calls friends, sharing his plan. Intimacy, he speaks directly, not through intermediaries or riddles. Don't seek to hear from prophets. If God used a prophet, it's fine. We have favor because we are his friend. Friends of God enjoy greater favor and understanding of his ways. Amen. And obedience. True friendship with God requires belief and obedience to his commands. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. So God's truth and faithfulness. Truth, God's word and action always align with reality and fact. Faithfulness. He consistently keeps his promises and remain constant in his nature. Amen. Truth is not some mystical thing. It has to do with facts. Amen. Trusting in God's protection. First, recognize. How do you recognize? Acknowledge God as your shelter, fortress, and refuge. Two, believe, have faith in his promises and protective nature. That means he will protect. Rest, find peace in his unchanging truth and faithfulness. Just rest, lah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Since I'm the God, I do not change. I do not go back on my promises. You sons of Jacob have not perished or destroyed. That means you read in the Old Testament, whenever Israel was destroyed, it was never God. He said, I have not changed. That's why I have not destroyed the descendants, the sons of Jacob. He didn't refer to Abraham, Isaac. Why? Who were those who got into trouble? It was Jacob's children from there on. It was the descendants of Jacob. The 12 children of Israel from there on, they were in trouble. So all the destruction Israel went through, it wasn't God who destroyed them. It was their disobedience to God and straight into the devil's hand that caused the enemies to destroy them. Jacob was fine, right? It's his descendants. Though they were in disobedience, God never go back on his promises and destroy them. Because of God the Father's promises of truth and he's faithful to keep his promises, therefore we can fully trust the Heavenly Father's promises and his faithfulness. Because he never changed. So the unbreakable promises is constant. God does not go back on His promises. He's merciful even in disobedience. God's promise remains. Amen. And God called us. And then when we stray like the Israel, we stray away from Him, He always invites us, call us back to return to Him, promises to return to us when we return to Him. Amen. Malachi told them, return to Him. Return to God means return to obeying Him. Amen. Praise God. That's the Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. He is faithful, who promised. Two things, His promises and His faithfulness. His promises, you need to get it from Him. His faithfulness, you need to know it. Amen.